So in part one, I talked about the toxic family members. In part two, I'm going to talk about, so you have these toxic family members trying to, ruin you, trying to ruin what you're doing, trying to mess up your schedule. They bring drama into your schedule. You had no intentions of having drama brought into your schedule and into your daily calendar, so that they decide to bring it in and it wastes your time. Then you really don't want to have these time wasters. Make sure that you're not, gosh, you're productive. You stay productive. So how do you use all this bad energy around you to bad negativity? Some of us have grown up in very negative environments with toxic, narcissistic, self-serving, egotistical, sadistic, dark, people that only care about themselves and, they don't look to build, they don't look to do anything but add torture to your life. How do you keep these, cauliflower eating yoga, well, I shouldn't say yoga pants. You need to buy my yoga pants, but bclarkart.com, shop now, coupon code 20% off. Be Clark Art, keep on going. So how do you get these? How do you use this motivation, right? How do you use toxic family members for motivation? You use it for motivation. You remember those things that they say. You don't use it to get angry at them, but to just continue to hold yourself to a very high standard and, push yourself to do better. Obviously if they got a criticism of you, it's I guess warranted or whatever, to a degree. But I was to say for people who are critical of other people, make sure that you're three times as critical of yourself. And you won't turn into this person that believes they live on an island and they're the best thing since sliced bread, and they're not really humble enough to say, well, maybe I need to work on myself. Maybe that's why I keep losing people that I care about, because I need to work on myself and all that. How can I, what am I doing wrong? One thing I taught, even though I had a bad relationship in the past, one thing I taught those children was, and they weren't my children, but they felt like they were my children. One thing I taught them was just, instead of looking at a situation when you have a dispute with someone, you can say, well, what am I doing wrong? Right? What am I doing wrong? Is what I told them to repeat to themselves. What am I doing wrong? And that just saying that, it creates accountability. It creates accountability, which is a very missing thing in a lot of single parent homes, is the discipline and accountability. I'm sitting down sometimes, like lately I've been looking at myself sitting down and seeing this gut hang out, and I was like, accountability. If I tell myself I'm supposed to work out tomorrow, I better be on it first thing in the morning or in the evening, and take accountability for my weight. I can say make excuses. We all have excuses. Oh, it's because I've been so busy. Oh, it's because I got this going on and that going on. If you can't take 35 minutes to say jog 15 minutes away from your house and then jog 15 minutes back, maybe pick up the pace, Like, that's sad. Like, that time is for your health. It's for your benefit. It's for your well-being. It's for you. So when you're basically like not you know, taking those things serious, you're just basically letting your body just turn into, I wouldn't say mush. It's just not a good look. So, I just think it's important to take accountability for your actions or lack of action. It's life can be demanding at times. And we all have worries and things that we think about and whatnot. And, you know, I think what bothers me about toxic family, and not just toxic family, but toxic people, is that the harsh things people can say to someone. You don't know when you might lose somebody. You know, I work a dangerous job, and I don't know if I'll even be around tomorrow. So it's like, you know, one wrong mistake can be fatal. So, I don't understand how people can talk to some people a certain way and say the worst things. Like, oh, you can drown. Like, what makes a person's mind say something so disrespectful and so rude and so harsh and so cold? Like, what causes a person to be that cold to say something to the effect of "you can drown"? How is that? How can you do that? Is it the pain that they've gone through that makes them say, "Well, I'm going through this pain, so they're gonna catch this pain too," and they end up doing this? What is the cause of the chaos? To me, that's the million-dollar question. What is the cause of the dysfunction? Well, I would just say, don't worry. Just focus on the fact that you can't control what, you know, comes out of people's mouth, but you can't control how you can react. And like, okay, so you just told me something as cold as "you can drown." Okay, well, first of all, that's a death threat. Well, in a way, it's like a mediocre death threat, I would say. And now, secondly, it's a way of saying, you know, you can die. I think that's like the worst thing you could possibly say to somebody. More so than calling them a derogatory name. Like, when you talk about death, death is like never coming back. And then call yourself a woman or man of God. Like, what the hell? How can you wish death upon somebody? And then call yourself a woman or man of God. Like, get out of here. You know, like, just go somewhere. Just, you know, really. And like, these are the type of people that exist in this world today. And they don't care. And it's like, it's all about them. They're self-serving. You know, they're egotistical. They're, you know, some of them have an agenda. Before you even talk of relationship, they got an agenda. on deck. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna use this sucker. But you already got an agenda. Wow. So, you know, it's a freaking shame. And I hope people do better than that. I really do hope people do better than that, because there is, you never know when you can lose somebody. You know, I was talking to my uncle one day, and you know, a week later, you know, he had a heart attack. You know, and that was it. You know, and he had health problems, and I think when we're all ambitious, a lot of us are ambitious that are listening to this podcast, I'm sure a lot of you are ambitious, and you know, there's a lot going on right now that makes you want to be kind of entrepreneurial, but and that's good to be ambitious. But at the end of the day, hold on one second, make sure this recording's still open. Okay, we're good. At the end of the day, well, you know, you want to be respected. And when you're on your artistic journey, you want to be able to, you know, just keep your body in shape so you keep healthy. You know, even if you're dealing with toxic family members, even if you're dealing with somebody trying to belittle you and put your dream in a hole. You know, a lot of people don't dream anymore, so they tear down anybody trying to pursue theirs. You know, it's important to stay young at heart. That's why you'll see me sometimes. If you ever see me in person, you'll see me dribbling a basketball at a park. You know, you'll see me dribbling down the street. You know, you'll see me, you know, doing push-ups and jumping rope. And, you know, all of that stuff is to keep my, it's self-work. Instead of spending that time spending that time around people who, you know, say the worst things to me, I give that time to myself. Oh, you're selfish. Man, there's nothing wrong with being a little bit selfish. You know, as long as you're not hurting other people in the process. You know, a lot of us don't know how to live because we never had, once again, that discipline in the home. You know, that ability to, you can cause an accident. This person's trying to put their blinker on. Turn that blinker off. I like to keep my space away from people. Social distance, I do it. I definitely use it in a car. If you're having a bad day, remain socially distanced while you're behind that wheel. From me. You love to vape, remain socially distanced away from me. So I can keep my, I know vaping gets some people off of cigarettes, but I'm just saying, like, some people drive and trying to vape at the same time. It's better to have two hands on the wheel. It's better. It's a little bit better. But, you know, things fall and stuff, and then you're reaching for that. So, Y'all, screw your freedom. What did Arnold say? Talk about a toxic family, man. Y'all do screw your freedom. I don't care about the freedom. Freedom is a needum. Y'all do. Needum isn't a word, Arnold. Needum isn't a word. Y'all do. I know that. Don't you think I know? Get to the chopper now! Now, buddy! Before it's too late! Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, me, God. Who is this funny man? Yahoo! So, you know, it. You know, you have some type of toxic people around that. And, you know, some people are so toxic they want to take your freedoms, you know. They want to take your liberty. You got nothing better to do, you know. Crazy. Other toxic situations that you might go through. I don't know. A lot of unexpected things happen to you, and family members want to trash you. Unexpected things happen to you. But, you know, and then we come to the point of not making excuses. It's easy to make an excuse, right? You got an appointment or you got an important purchase you need to make for related to your artistic journey. And all of a sudden your family member's asking for money. And this person is able-bodied. If they need to, they can work two jobs. They can walk to work if they have to. But instead of hustling, they'd rather hustle you. You know, let me see if so-and-so got some money. It's called putting your head down and moving your tail. To make sure your bills are paid. Your bills and your unexpected expenses have nothing to do with me. You can go on vacation and you can go to trips and go on trips in other states and stuff, but you can't afford to put extra money to the side to make sure that you're okay on that trip. You know, like, it just, it's mind-blowing. The audacity of some people, you know. And I think it's, oh, they're building over here. They're building something. A park or something over here. So, yeah. Emergency helicopter landing ports. Yeah, it's a thing that affects, you know, anybody with any kind of artistic pursuit is, you know, people who don't get it. You know? You got some toxic family members, they'll, you know, try to make you, you know, create a whole lot of drama and then all of a sudden play the victim when you get mad at them. You're the first one to start all this mess, but for somehow, some way, I am the problem. Because you have a temper tantrum. You're having a temper tantrum. Somehow, some way, I am the problem. Like where do you find these people? That's got to be one of the most darkest things, and I've seen that in relationships too. You know, just people who are, you know, I have this important meeting to go to. Like, I'm meeting with people who might invest in my artwork, but today you decide to crap test me just because you're having a bad day or you're bored. You want to make a big fuss about me not putting the toast, me not cleaning my crumbs up after I was in a hurry and had to make some toast for breakfast. You're mad that I got crumbs on the countertop. Stuff like that. Then you got people who you need them to be play a role in your life, right? I need you to be this for me, baby. And the moment you say anything about work or having to do something to that she needs to do to help you, let's say you're a man in the situation, and given a male perspective, it's an attitude almost immediately. It's like a knee-jerk attitude reaction. How can you build anything with anybody like that in your life? Like you can't. It's, you can do it, but man, you know, you got some people that just sit there and argue and fuss and fight with their spouse all day long, and then who has time? Eventually, you're going to get drained. These days, like, men are so becoming some more aware of what narcissism is, and you know, more aware of, you know, you got this whole red pill stuff, red pill movements, and Kevin Samuels of the world going on. So, you know, this is, people are more aware of the toxicity out there than ever. So, you know, time is short for these toxic people. They're living off of, they get a high off of, you know, trying to destroy or bring down good people. It's not a good idea. Yeah, I wanted the kitty litter to be in the back of you're supposed to put it at the back of the house and not the front. You know, like it's you know, who has time? Who has time for this drama? Like, who has time for this? This stuff is toxic, man. Every day there's some drama with you. You just get done buying somebody a feeding him a whole meal, taking time out of your day to feed them, put gas in their car, then give them a little extra money just in case they need something extra or they want to get something before they go to work. So later, here, baby, get you something to eat before you go to work. They got a whole attitude. All right, baby. I'll see you later. You try to give him a kiss, and they acting stank. Like, dang, man. I guess I just kissed myself. Let me flip my lips. it's about, you know, the toxicity of the modern relationship is, you know, is something that I think too many have had it too good for too long, and they don't understand. They don't understand a lot. Nobody gets up and, you know, there's no educational course on narcissism, and you know, there needs to be. There needs to be educational courses on how human beings can get along with each other better and understand each other better and what each other's needs are at what age, and, you know, just going over examples in classes of, you know, relationship skills. How do I avoid arguments? How do I do conflict resolution? You know, how do I do things that are conductive to healthy connections and keeping friends and people around me that'll help me in my pursuits and support me in different ways? And, you know, doing a good job of not rocking the boat at the workplace, you know, being a drama king or queen at the workplace, you know. Some people, you know, too, are confrontational. They'll start something with you just to start something with you. And I guess that's what I'll talk about in the next podcast, is just, you know, how do you deal with somebody like you're forced to be in this work situation with this person, and they lick their chops whenever they see you because they know they can try you. And you go to HR, they don't do nothing. You talk to management, they don't do nothing. You know, this is when people get to the point where they just quit. It's like, nope, out of here. I'm not going to live in this misery thing just so I can, you know, work this job. It's not going to happen, you know. So, you know, I'm going to talk about dealing with this tomorrow.